morning, everyone. Yasher Koach. I know it's snowy outside and it's not so easy to travel, so I applaud everybody for coming out for some Divrei Torah. Yesterday in my shul, I began my drasha by noting that reading Parshas Truma can sometimes be a bit depressing, because we read about the Mishkan, the beautiful vessels. We read about the architecture of this magnificent structure, albeit a temporary one that accompanied us while we were traveling in the desert. But we don't see that building at all. It was dismantled. The truth is, it was dismantled for good reasons, because we were able to build the Beis HaMikdash, but that too was destroyed, and it was destroyed again. So when you read Parshas Truma, there is a note of disappointment, being unable to really see the magnificent structure that is being described in the Torah. However, I mentioned to my Balabatim yesterday that there are four words from a pasuk in Yechezkel that give us tremendous amounts of inspiration and that continue sustaining us in this long exile. So I'd like to share with you first the pasuk in the Torah, which talks about the mitzvah of building the Mishkan, and then we'll look at the four words that the pasuk in Yechezkel talks about, and we'll jump off from there. So in source number one, the Torah tells us, we read this yesterday, Vasuli Mikdash Vishachanti Bisocham. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells us that we are to make a sanctuary for him and he will dwell in their midst. Really a very, very beautiful pasuk. As I said, at first glance it seems disappointing at best that we don't have such a structure anymore. However, the Gemara Maseches Megillah in source number two focuses on these four words from the pasuk in Yechezkel. Yechezkel tells, through this is Nevuah, tells the Jewish people, Va'ahi lahem lemikdash ma'at. God tells the Jewish people through the prophecy of Yechezkel that he will be a miniature sanctuary. Va'ahi lahem lemikdash ma'at. And the Gemara darshins these words in source number two, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Elu bate knesios ubate midrashos shebebavel. This refers to the prayer homes and the study halls in Bavel. And of course, it's not limited just to Bavel. Really, what this Gemara is doing is telling us that even though we don't have a Mishkan and we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, there is an element of that Kedusha that finds its way to every single shul and every single Beis Medrash. So it's really a magnificent Gemara. Every single shul, every single Beis Medrash is a derivative, has a Kedusha that stems from the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. Good. What I'd like to do today is try to pit one against the other. I want to zero in on those two locations that the Gemara in Megillah makes reference to, the Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos. And I'd like to ask you a question, which one of those locations has a higher level of Kedusha? We know in general we try not to weigh mitzvos one against the other. We're really not able to. And even if we're able to, the mission Avos tells us, Have zahir b'mitzvah kala, kibichamura. We have to take every single mitzvah equally as seriously. But the truth is, the Gemara Maseches Megillah itself has a machlokas where it tries to understand which one of these locations has a higher level of sanctity. If you look with me in source number 3, this is a Gemara just a few dapim earlier in the same Masechta. Amar Rav Papi Mishmei Derava, Mi Bei Kenishta LeBei Rabbanan Shari. It is permissible to transform a room that was a Beis Knesset and make it into a Beis Medrash, right? Bei Kenishta is Aramaic for Beis Knesset, Bei Rabbanan, code word for a Beis Medrash. So according to Rav Papi, in the name of Rava, it's permissible to transform, to recreate a room that was used for davening and use it as a room for Torah study. However, mi bei rabbanon lebei kenishta, but to take a Beis Medrash and to transform it into a shul, asir. You're not allowed to, because you'd be going down in levels of Kedusha. Very simplistic way of looking at the Gemara. Milim b'kodesh, you can go up, so you can take a shul and make it into a Beis Medrash. You can't take a Beis Medrash and make it into a shul. Rav Papa Mishmei Derava Masni Ibcha. But Rav Papa, also in the name of Rava, taught the opposite. So he would tell you that to go from a Beis Medrash to a shul is permitted, but to go from a shul to a Beis Medrash is not allowed. And then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Acha Kavasei Derav Papi Mistavra. that the approach of Rav Papi, the first one, where the shul has a higher sanctity, makes more sense. The Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Beis HaKnesses, Mutter Lasoso Beis HaMedrash, that you're allowed to take a shul and make it into a yeshiva, Shma Mina. Then that's how the Gemara concludes, ultimately, that it is permissible. So when you look at this Gemara, you have to ask yourself, what exactly is the Nekudas HaMachlokas? What are they arguing about? A shul, a Beis Medrash, certainly both of them have Kedusha. But how do we explain each side of this Gemara, this Machlokas? If you're going to have two sides, you're going to have two rationales. So how would we understand the rationale of Rav Papi, who says you can go from a shul to Beis Medrash? And how would we understand the rationale of Rav Papa, who says you can go from a Beis Medrash to a shul? Anyone want to take a crack at it this morning? What could be the Nekudas HaMachlokas? Any takers? No? Okay. So let me. I want to share with you the approach that I came across earlier in the week in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik, whose Yahrzeit, as Rabbi Waitman mentioned, is coming up in just a few weeks from now. So it's a great kavod for me to be able to share some of his Torah in the yeshiva that he taught in for so many years. So the Rav explained that if you want to understand the Nekudas HaMachlokas here, you have to get to the source of what the Kedusha is of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to use the term Beis HaMikdash more commonly because that's the permanent structure, but it's the same issue. What is the core of the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash? And when you understand the core of the Beis HaMikdash, you can understand which of those two locations has a higher degree of Kedusha because it parallels even closer to the core of the Kedusha. Everyone understand what we're about to do? So we're going to look at another machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban regarding what is the central theme of the Mikdash. And based on our understanding of the central theme of the Mikdash, we'll be able to understand which of the two, the Beis Medrash or the Beis Knesses, more closely fits to that model. So as I mentioned, you have really a significant machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban on this issue. In source number 4, the Rambam in his Sefer HaMitzvos is describing the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And listen very carefully to the language that the Rambam uses. V'hamitzvah ha'esrim, the 20th mitzvah, hi shetzivanu livnos Beis Avoda. The 20th mitzvah that the Rambam counts in his Sefer HaMitzvos is the mitzvah to build a Beis Avoda. How would you translate that phrase? A home of worship, a home of service, a Beis Avoda. Bo yeha krava, it is in this home of service that you will offer sacrifices. V'havaras ha'esh tamid, this is where you will have the continuous burning of the fire. V'elav yeha halicha, this is where we will go. V'haliya l'regel, this is where we go thrice a year for the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. V'hakibbutz b'chol shana, again, this is where we collect ourselves. This is where the Jewish people travel to three times a year. V'hu amro yisale, this is all alluded to in the one mitzvah, v'asu li mikdash. So the Rambam understands that the core of the Beis HaMikdash is a Beis Avoda. The primary purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to have Korbanos, is to have the Eish Tamid, is to have the central location where all the Jewish people come to for the Shalosh Regalim to offer Korbanos. And this is all encapsulated in the words of Asuli Mikdash. The Rambam goes on to say, V'lashon Sifri, Shalosh Mitzvos Nitztavu Yisrael, Bishas Knisas L'aretz. There are three mitzvos that the Jewish people encountered when they entered Eretz Yisrael. Limnos lehem melech, to appoint a king, number one. V'livnos lehem beis habachira, to build a beis hamikdash. U'lahachiz zaro shel amalek, and to destroy the children, the progeny, of Amalek. The Rambam says, hine hisvayer shebinyan beis habachira, mitzvah bifnei atzma. So you see that the mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash is its own independent mitzvah. And some of this relates to the more difficult topic of understanding how we categorize mitzvahs. Right? We know that all the moni ha-mitzvahs, all of the people who have books on mitzvahs, all of them count to 613. The question is, how do you categorize and clump together different mitzvos? The dalei minim, is that four different mitzvos or is that one mitzvah? Tefillin, is it two mitzvos, one mitzvah? There are many different mitzvos that have numerous components. And the monia mitzvos argue about how you go about counting. The Rambam's basic premise is that when it comes to binyan beis hamikdash, essentially there is just one mitzvah that should be counted, vasuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, and then all of the components, the vessels and all the other accoutrements to the mishkan, really are secondary to the primary mitzvah of vasuli mikdash. And that point is made by the Rambam in the next paragraph in source number 4, paragraph 2. V'kvar bi'arnu, and he references the Sharashim where the Rambam lays out how he decides to count which mitzvos as independent mitzvos. So the Rambam writes, V'kvar bi'arnu shezeh klal hu kolel chalakim, that this generality of building a mitzvah, a mishkan, encapsulates many different components. V'sheh ha-menorah, v'sheh ha-shulchan, v'ha-mizbeach, v'zulasam, kulam hei michelkei hamikdash. All of them are simply components of the general mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. V'hakol yikarei mikdash. It's all called mikdash, a sanctuary, a tabernacle, temple. V'kvar yachin hatzivoy b'chilak. So there is an individual commandment in each and every component, but fundamentally there is just one mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. Amnam, very interesting. Amram Amru ben Mizbeach, the Rambam makes note that the pasuk at the end of Parshas Yisro, right after the Aseres HaDibros, Mizbeach Adama Taseli, the Rambam says, Sheyichashiv Bekosuv Hazeh, Shehu Mitzvah Bifnei Atzma, Chutz Mitzvahs HaMikdash. The Rambam does note that the mitzvah to build a Mizbeach Adama stands alone. That's interesting. I'm not going to focus on that point today. What I want to show you is that the Rambam clearly envisions that the primary purpose of the mikdash is it's a location to offer korbanos. It's where the avoda takes place. This idea that is referenced in the Sefer Mitzvos is echoed in the Rambam's Sefer Mishneh Torah, the very beginning of Halachos of Beis HaBechira in source number 5. The Rambam writes, Mitzvas aseh, La'asos bayis la'Hashem. There is a positive commandment to build a home for the Almighty. Muchan l'hiyos makrivim bo ha'korbanos. What does that phrase mean? Muchan l'hiyos, it needs to be prepared. Makrivim bo ha'korbanos. It is a location for offering korbanos. The Rambam is clearly telling us that the primary purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is a location for offering korbanos. V'chogegine lav shalosh pamim bashana. We have three festivals there during the year. Shene emar vasu li mikdash. End of our analysis, at least the first part of our analysis of the Rambam. Any questions on the understanding of the Rambam? So far so good, gentlemen? Okay, good. Now we're going to look at the Ramban. The Ramban has a very different emphasis when thinking about the role of the Beis HaMikdash. The Ramban will actually focus more on the Mishkan, but it's the same idea. The Ramban, in the beginning of Parashas Truma, has a bit of a hakdama, some introductory words regarding why the Mishkan was necessary. You know, if you think about it, the idea itself of having a home for God is somewhat heretical, right? God transcends time, God transcends any location. So the idea of having one home for God to rest His presence, it really runs contrary to everything we think about when we think about God. But that being the case, God still wanted a home. Why did God want a home? So writes the Ramban as follows, a very important insight of Nachmanides in source number 6. Ka'ashir diber Hashem im Yisrael, panim bepanim aseres hadibros. After God speaks with the Jewish people face to face, obviously we speak euphemistically here, but after God revealed Himself and spoke to the Jewish people by giving them the Ten Commandments, v'tziva osam ayide Moshe k'tzas mitzvos, and He commands the Jewish people in a smattering of mitzvos, kimo avos l'mitzvoseh shel Torah, sort of the broad strokes summary of the mitzvos, kashir hinhigu rabosinu im hagerim, shabayim lihisyai, just like we do with converts. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us that when someone is interested in conversion, modio lo mitzos mitzos kalos umid mitzos mitzos chamuros. I don't know if I'm quoting the Gemara verbatim, but you have to let the ger know what he's theoretically going to be stepping into. And that's exactly what the Ribbono Shel Olam did with us right over here at Har Sinai. He said, here are the Big Ten, and maybe you could even say that Parshas Mishpatim was also given at that time. And then the rest of Yidach Zil Gemur. Hashem says, we'll teach them to you as they come. And that's why for the next 40 years, we're learning Torah. New ideas are presented all the time in the Torah. So anyways, the Ramban says, we have this first initial meeting that's quite impactful. We get a broad strokes of sort of a bird's eye view of what the Torah is going to include. And the Jewish people are very pleased to enter into a covenant with their Almighty. V'Yisroel kibu aleihem lasos kol mash yitzavim al yidosha Moshe. They're very pleased to accept all of the commandments that are commanded vis-a-vis Moshe. V'karasi mohem bris al kozeh, and we enter into a covenant. Me'ata. After this is the case, and we have arranged for a very unique relationship, Hineheim lo la'am, we will be the nation, the treasured nation for the Ribbono Shel Olam, v'hu lahem le'elokim, kasher hisna'im. This is all laid out in a psukim in advance of receiving the Aseret HaDibros. So we're on really good footing, and there is a very close relationship that has just been forged. Writes the Ramban in source number 6, paragraph number 2. V'hine heim kedoshim. We are now a sanctified people. Ru'uyim sheyehe bahem mikdash lahashros shchinaso b'nehem. Now we are worthy of having a temple through which God can rest His presence. V'lachein tziva techila al davar hamishkan sheyehe lo bayis b'socham Mukdash Lishmo. God tells Moshe, I'm now ready to have a home in the center of the Jewish people. It will be sanctified for me. It will be a rendezvous point between the Jewish people and the Almighty. Visham Yidaber Imosha. This is where I will speak with Moshe. V'yitzave es b'nei Yisrael. Turning to the next page. This is where I will command the Jewish people. And writes the Ramban a very important line that I believe stands in strong contrast to the Rambam. The Ramban writes, "V'hine ikar hachifetz b'mishkan," the desire of God when it comes to commanding the building of the Mishkan, "Humako menuchas hashchina shehu aron." God wanted a place to rest His presence amongst the Jewish people. And that location was precisely the location of the Aron. The Aron represented a strong, palpable Hashras Hashchina for the Jewish people to observe. Now, people weren't going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but Hashem's Shechina was felt. It was a location for God to rest amongst the Jewish people. Kimosha Amar, we read this yesterday in the Kriyas HaTorah, V'nodati lecha sham. God says, I'm going to speak to you from the Aron and the Kaporis. The Kaporis was the covering to the Aron. Akein hikdim ha'aron v'ha'kaporis b'kan, ki hu mukdam b'malan. That's why of all of the vessels that we learned about in yesterday's Kriyas HaTorah, the very first vessel, the first kli that we learn about is the Aron, because that represents the purpose of the Mishkan. To have a location where the Ribbono Shel Olam will come and rest His Shechina amongst the Jewish people. V'sod HaMishkan Hu, and this is in that freestanding line towards the top of the page. What is the essence of the Mishkan? Sheyehe HaKavod Asher Shachan Al Harsinai Shochin Olav Benistar. That the presence of God that was felt so palpably at Harsinai will continuously be felt in the Mishkan, albeit Benistar, in more of a hidden way. But essentially, according to the Ramban, the purpose of the Mishkan is to continue the Har Sinai experience. Har Sinai was Kolus Ubrakim, it was a very loud and a celebratory moment for the Jewish people. The Mishkan is more quiet, more reserved, almost like more tsanua, if you will, but it was also more continuous, and it lasted. And the location of that interaction is the Aron. That's why the Aron is listed first. And this idea is echoed by the Ramban in source number 7 in his commentary to Parshas Devarim. The Ramban notes that this is really the reason why the Aaron is listed first. Kimitchila nitzdavem Moshe ala mishkan v'kelav. Moshe is first commanded regarding building the vessels. Gahaisa ha-mitzvah rishona v'asu Aaron atzei shitim. Why was the mitzvah to build the Aaron first, writes the Ramban, echoing what he wrote 3 books earlier. Kihi ikker hakavana b'chol ha-mishkan. That is the primary purpose of God's intention with the Mishkan, to have a location to rendezvous with the Jewish people, to continue the Ashras HaShchina, albeit in a more muted fashion, through the Mishkan, Liyos Hashem, Yoshev HaKruvim, God's presence will sit amongst the Kruvim. It will also come as no surprise to you, gentlemen, that the Ramban lists Binyan HaAron as an independent mitzvah. He lists building the Aaron as its own independent commandment, because that really encapsulates the essence of the Mishkan. Writes the Ramban in source number 8, this is his Asagos to Sefer Mitzvos, the Ramban writes, V'lachin etzli, from my perspective, and he's arguing on the Rambam in terms of different categorizations of the Mitzvos and how you group them together, but the Ramban writes, Asiyas ha'aron v'hakapores, lasum sham ha'edos, that building the ark, the covering, in order to place the luchos, which are the edos, timne mitzvah bifnei atzma, should be counted as its own independent mitzvah. V'hinei mikomakom hi mitzvah miuchedes bifnei atzma, eino hechshe mitzvah cheres kimenorah v'mizvichos v'ashulchan. The other vessels in the Mishkan have a secondary role to the general Mishkan. The Aaron is so incredibly important and primary that it's listed by as a mitzvah on its own. So when you contrast the two ideas, the Rambam versus the Ramban, you have a very, very different feel to what was the purpose of the Mishkan, what was the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. According to the Rambam, it was a makom of avoda for the korbanos. According to the Ramban, often I teach these two opinions in school, not this particular issue, but in general, my students have such a hard time hearing the Ramban versus the Ramban. So I hope I'm being clear right now. But according to the Rambam with a mem, as I say in school, right? According to the Rambam, so the essence is the avoda. According to the Ramban with a nun, the essence is hashras hashchina, with the Aaron, which of course housed the Luchos and the Torah, and that was the epicenter of the Mishkan, subsequently the Beis HaMikdash. These two ideas represent something even more significant in terms of how to understand the flow of the Torah. And I'd like to speak about that in just a moment. Are there any questions on what I've said so far? Yes.
You mentioned the term in terms of the Rishonim's desires and wants.
Yes. Right.
Learn the Shaila is Vasaka. This is what the Rav would say. He said, we don't know what the Kaddish Baruch Hu wants.
Right.
The Shaila is Vasaka. So therefore, if a Jewish table is a Shulchan Aruch, it's a Mishkan Yad, it's a miniature Mizbeah.
Right.
And we deal with Pasha Bayed and the Taiva. Here, so there are many ways to look at time as a living commitment. One of the things you learn, and from Diva Hechame Benachis Nishmoy and Erech Pasu Simon Kalis.
Right. Right.
At the end of the Gemara, we learn a lot of things. Because in terms of Parsha Yisrael in the Torah, the male speaks softly and agrees with the woman.
Okay.
Because herefore, when we're talking about the Machlokes, the Sefarchim between the Chazanish and Chafetz Chaim and the Rosh Hashanah, in terms of the Tumas Hadashim, where they have
Yeah, so is there a particular point that I can address?
What I'm trying to say is that this gives us, a Jewish home must be immaculate.
Right, sure.
In other words, the time you get up in the morning to put your shoes on, everything you do has to express a
Absolutely, absolutely.
And that's what we have to exemplify, the newest practices in the here at the yeshiva, every child has to be dressed like you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, good. It's a good point, but we can certainly continue that conversation afterwards. Yes?
Yes, but I'm not sure if the Rambam and Ramban are that far apart.
Okay.
You could say the Avodas HaKarbanos is, I mean, unless you say it way to the Mora, but you could say the Avodas HaKarbanos is in itself being Mashrish.
Yes, but the...
There's a certain convergence.
I agree. They're not entirely worlds apart, but I think the emphasis on Beis Avoda versus the emphasis on the Aaron, you do see. I think that's evident from the text. We're not talking, chasson, different religions here. You know, they're talking about the same makom, and there is overlap, but I do think the emphasis is different when comparing the text one against the other. But your point is noted. So I want to just sort of broaden this discussion, not just looking at the Mishkan itself, but I want to look at the Parshios in the Torah, because I think that we're onto something here in terms of the contrast between the Rambam and the Ramban. And it relates to the Seder HaParshios. We know that there is a significant machlokas regarding when was the tzivoy for the Melechas HaMishkan given. So if you open up a Sefer Torah and you look inside, so you read Parshas Yisrael, and then you read Parshas Mishpatim, and then you read Terumah Tetzaveh, and Kitisa, and Vayakov Behudei. Very good. So if you look at the chronology of events as it stands, from the Parshios of the Torah, the tzivoy of building the Mishkan clearly came before the Chet HaEgel. However, Rashi lets us know in Parshas Kitisa that's not the way it happened. Rashi is oftentimes willing to apply the principle of a mukta mamucha b'Torah, that there's no chronology in the Torah. Torah is not a history book. Torah is not delimited to teaching things in chronological order. So Rashi, in source number 10, in Parshas Kitisa, he makes this point that even though when we read the Torah, it seems as though the Mishkan was commanded before, in actuality, the entire concept of Mishkan only came afterwards. Writes Rashi in source number 10, in Mukta Mamuchar B'Torah, Ma'aseh Ha'egel Kodem L'tzivoy Melechas HaMishkan Yomim Rabim Haya, that the sin of the golden calf seeded the tzivoy of building a Mishkan by many, many days. Sheharei B'Shivasar B'Tamuz Nishabra Luchos. On the 17th day of Tamuz, the Luchos were destroyed. Uve Yom HaKippurim Nisratza Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. On Yom Kippur, the Eibishter forgave us and was willing to rekindle a relationship. Ule Macharas, and on the day after Yom Kippur, Hischilu B'Nidvas HaMishkan. They started with the donations to the Mishkan. V'hukam be'echad b'Nisan. It was ultimately inaugurated on the first day of Nisan. So according to Rashi, the entire tzivoy and also the construction happened after the sin of Chet HaEgel. This point is also made by the Sforno in source number 11. The Sforno, it's just a stunning Sforno. The Sforno writes, Vasuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham lo kimo Sheyied Kodem Lachem. This is not the way it was originally supposed to be. What's he referring to? So what he's referring to is back to source number 9, right after the Aseres Hadivros, the Ribbono Shalom tells us something unbelievable. Source number 9, Mizbeach Adama Taseli, Vizavachta La Besolasecha, Veshulamecha, Tzonecha, Vesbekarecha. So Hashem says, make an earthen altar for me, bring the Korbanos there. Bechol Hamakom Asher Askiret Shemi, Avo Elecho Birachticha. Wherever you will mention my name, I will come and bless you. Bechol Hamakom Asher Askiret Shemi, wherever you will mention my name, Avo Elecho Birachticha. I will come and bless you. So the Sforno brings our attention to that pasuk, and the Sforno says that originally we did not require a Mishkan. We did not require a identified location where God would come and rest His presence, because the Ribbono Shel Olam would come and rest His presence anywhere. B'chol makom asher askir et shmi. Anywhere you mention my name, I will come and rest my presence. That was the way it was supposed to be. What happened? What happened is, we sinned with the Chet HaEgel. We showed, and this is reflective in many sources, the Kuzari speaks about this in great detail. We basically showed our true colors. Not that we were idolaters, but we showed our true colors that human beings need something physical to latch onto. Very, very hard to worship an amorphous God that you cannot see, that you cannot feel, that you cannot touch. Especially in a pagan society where there were many concrete items to think about and look at and touch when they were offering their pagan sacrifices. So the Svorno, Rashi, the Torah, so really what's coming out over here is that originally we had a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam where we could access Hashem at any point. And it was only after Chet HaEgel where we revealed our human frailties, that we need something physical to latch onto, that the idea of a asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham was even hatched. It was not necessary originally. Only after the Chet HaEgel, which is why Rashi says that the whole tzivoy of Binyan HaMishkan comes after the Chet HaEgel, even though that's not the way you read it in the Torah. And that's what the point that the Svorno makes over here. Lo kimo she'ya'ed kol demachin. This is not the way it was originally supposed to be. Originally, b'chol ha'makom asher azkir et shemi, avoy lecha. Originally Hashem says, wherever you mention my name, I will come and bless you. Aval atah, but now, post Chet HaEgel, yitztarich l'kohanim. Now, after Chet HaEgel, we need designated priests. V'zeh be'atzmo hispa'er be'omro v'ata ha'krev e'lechas aron achicha. This becomes clear when you have the psukim which talk about only now will you bring Aaron to serve as a priest in this formal sanctuary. V'hine lo nivchar sheve levi l'sharis ad achar ma'aseh HaEgel. Writes the Svorno that sheve levi was only chosen to be the designated tribe to serve in the Mishkan only after Chet HaEgel. Kimo sheheid ba'omro ba'es ha'hi hivdil Hashem ha'sheva levi l'shar so l'varich b'shemo. This is Moshe reflecting in Sefer Devarim. Ba'es ha'hi, at that time, post Chet HaEgel, did Hashem select sheva levi. So, this is one strain of thinking in the Rishonim, that the Mishkan happened afterwards. The entire idea was hatched afterwards, after we showed our true colors, that we need something physical to latch onto. I believe this machlokes, which is not that point, that it only comes afterwards, is not agreed to by all Rishonim. The Ramban, for example, does not take this approach. And I think this is really lishitaso. I was not able to find anywhere where the Rambam expressly writes that the tzivoy of building the Mishkan comes afterwards, but I believe it really lines up very nicely. According to the Rambam, who says that the focus of building the Mishkan is a place for Avoda, likely that was only hatched of after the Chet HaEgel. Because Avoda, we need a specific location for Avoda. That makes sense, specifically when you think about what went wrong with the Chet HaEgel, and Hashem's response, Vasuli Mikdash Vishachanti Bisocham. So I have not seen this written anywhere, but it is my opinion that the Rambam would give a thumbs up to source 10 and 11. The Rambam would also put his stamp of approval on Rashi and the Svorno that the idea of having a physical location only came after Chet HaEgel, and that's why the Rambam puts the focus on the Makom Avoda. But the Ramban believes that the Torah was written in order. And the Ramban never, unless he's forced to, will employ the principle of a mukta mukhar b'Torah. The Ramban read the Torah in order. And according to the Ramban, it's beautiful. The Mishkan is a lechachila. The Ribono Shel Olam wanted a makom for Ashras HaShechina right after the Aseres HaDibros. Aseres HaDibros was this intense moment of Giloy Shechina, and the Mishkan was the continuous moments of Hashras HaShechina, albeit not in such a revealed way. So I believe you can really explain the Rambam and the Ramban in those two terms as well. The Rambam would line up with Rashi and the Svorno. Mishkan is post Chet HaEgel. It's a makom avoda, a physical location. And the Ramban would say, no, the Mishkan was lechachila. It was always God's intention to continue the moments of Hashras HaShechina. We could also speak this out a little bit further, although I'm not ready to tell you that this is an absolute muhrach point, but you know there is a famous machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban regarding the entire idea of korbanos. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim writes that the whole point of korbanos is because we were so habituated to animal sacrifices and the paganism that was rampant throughout Egypt and the culture really throughout the world at that time, that God knew He couldn't just ask us to stop cold turkey. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, if you're going to bring korbanos, you're going to bring animal sacrifices, bring them to me in the Mishkan and subsequently the Beis HaMikdash. That is what the Rambam writes. The Ramban goes at the Rambam. I hope I'm being clear with my mems and nuns, right? The Ramban, in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, completely disagrees with the Rambam's approach. The Ramban writes that to say that the whole point of korbanos is simply to wean us off of Avodah Zarah is essentially heretical, and it's not correct, and he brings a whole slew of psukim that support his approach. But it's interesting just to conceptualize this idea. The Rambam, Amakom Avodah, well, what was the avodah? Korbanos. The korbanos is at a lichachila. So according to the Rambam, you could suggest the whole idea of the Mishkan is bidiyaved. The whole idea of korbanos is bidiyaved. But the focus of the Mishkan going forward is always a base avodah, a physical location for us to worship. As opposed to the Ramban, who says the Mishkan is lichachila, it's a place for Hashem's Shechina. And the entire concept of korbanos is also in order to deepen that Hashem's Shechina. Some ways we can understand, like a korban chatas, meant to replace the sinner, and some korbanos that we don't understand, but it's all about this ideal, the ideal connection that is forged between Hashem and the Jewish people through this lofty location known as the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. Yes?
What I recall is that the Rambam and the Mora is only really talking about korbanos nedava. He's not talking about the avodah. So that would seem to mitigate against your statement, because avodah seems to be a different category. And in fact, I could see the Rambam also feeling that the chronology is the way it is in the pasuk, because the avodah, just the difference is, according to the Ramban, the Mishkan is Hashem's Shechina. According to the Rambam, the avodah is what brings the Shechina. And it does not necessarily fit with Rashi at all.
What I'm saying is not mochrach. It was, as I was preparing the shir, it occurred to me that one could make this suggestion. I don't know if the Rambam himself differentiates between Korbos Nadava and others, but Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and Emes Yaakov does make that point. If you look in the Emes Yaakov in the beginning of Vayikra, he suggests that there's a difference between like a Bama versus other Korbanos that were not Korban Yitzibor, Korban Yachid.
In his yad,
right.
He has all the rules for the avodah.
Well, that already is the major machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. You have to contend with that. I mean, the Rambam has to answer up for his position, right? Okay, it could be. But I do think it's certainly plausible to continue this strain of thinking. It might not. It's not machrach. But I think it's plausible, and it's interesting to note the consistency between the idea of a base avoda, between whether or not this was a lichachila institution, and whether or not korbanos are a lichachila institution. Very interesting to consider. But now I'd like to sort of try to loop back to our original question. Our original question was the Gemara and Megillah trying to understand the nekudas hamachlokas between Rav Papi and Rav Papa. Are you allowed to build a base? Are you allowed to take a shul and make it into a base medrash? Or are you allowed to take a base medrash and make it into a shul? So Rabbi Soloveitchik had the following beautiful idea. The Rav said that in order to understand this nekuda, you have to understand what is the essence of the base hamikdash. So according to the Rambam, what's the essence of the base hamikdash? It's a base avoda. It's a base avoda. Rabosai, now that we don't have a base hamikdash, where is our base avoda? In the shul, it's tefillah. Writes the Rambam in source number 12, mitzvas asei lispalo b'chol yom. It's a positive commandment to daven every day. Shene'emar v'avaditem es Hashem Elokeichem. That we are commanded to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mipi Hashmu Olamdu she'avoda zu hitvila. I bolded the words avoda on purpose to emphasize this point, that the avoda that the Ribbono Shel Olam speaks about in that pasuk is a reference to tvila, shne'emar ula avdo b'chol levavchem, Amru Chachamim, Ezohi Avoda, Shebelev, Zuhi Tfila. Okay, this is based on the Gemara in Tainus and other Gemaras, and a lot to talk about with this Rambam itself, but we're not going to get too bogged down in this Rambam. But the Rav says that Tfila is Avoda. Tfila is Avoda Shebelev. So if you ask the Rambam, which of the two locations has the greater correspondence to the Kedusha of the Mikdash? Well, the Rambam would tell you the Mikdash is a base avoda, and Tefillah is avoda. So according to this approach, which has a higher level of Kedusha? A base haknesses, which explains the second opinion in the Gemara Maseches Megillah. That explains the opinion of Rav Papa, who said, Mas Niepcha, he would tell you from a base medrash to a shul is okay, because Mailim Bekodesh, you're going closer to the essence of the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash by building a shul, because that is the Makom Avoda. The shul is Avoda. Tefillah is Avoda. So you can go from a Beis Medrash to a Beis Knesses because you are ultimately embracing a closer model of the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. And so that would be how to explain Rav Papa. How can you explain Rav Papi, who said that you can go from a shul to a Beis Medrash? So that would be more in line with the Ramban. Because according to the Ramban, what stood at the center of the Mishkan? It was the Aron. What was in the Aron? It was the Torah, it was the Luchos. So the epicenter of the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is the Aron, it's the Luchos. And therefore, you're able to go from a shul to a Beis Medrash, because with the Beis Medrash and the Limud HaTorah, you're actually modeling and paralleling the essence of the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash in a closer way. This idea is made reference to in source number 13 in the Rishimo Shiurim of the Rav HaMaseches Brachos, written by Rabbi Reichman. So he writes very beautifully, Rav Papa, Reshua ben Levi Svirulei, Shekedushas Beis HaMedrash, Beis HaMedrash, Lemaila Mikedushas Beis HaKnesses. They take the approach that the Beis HaMedrash is more holy. V'itachein Shesvarasan Kedas HaRamban. And it could be that opinion is based on the Ramban, Sheikr Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, that the essence of the Beis HaMikdash, Novas mi Aron HaKodesh, is a direct flow from the Aron HaMehave HaMekor, which is the essence, LaHashras HaShchina BeMikdash, for why God's presence rests in the Mikdash. V'yotze lefizet, and it would come out according to this, She'ikr HaDavar HaMekadesh es Beis HaMikdash, Hu HaTorah. It will come out according to this that the essence of the Kiddush of the Beis HaMikdash is the Torah. V'lachein Beis HaMedrash doma le'Beis HaMikdash yoser mi'Beis HaKnesses. And therefore, the Beis Medrash parallels the Kiddush of the Mikdash more than a shul. Ki Kiddushas Beis HaMedrash chala b'pnei HaTorah kimo ikr HaKiddusha she'Beis HaMikdash. I think that's a magnificent way of explaining this machlokas. You see a machlokas and you say to yourself, okay, two sides, Beis Medrash and a shul, which one is holier? We feel a little uncomfortable even comparing the two. We can't compare levels of Kedusha, but this really beautiful insight of the Rav, that understanding what is the core of the Kedusha, of the Beis HaMikdash, can also help us explain which of those two locations have a higher degree of Kedusha. This idea, not directly related, but certainly tangentially related, is echoed by the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, in source number 14. His basic premise, as most of Nefesh HaChaim, is focused on the importance of Limud HaTorah. And the Nefesh HaChaim writes that if you have to choose between a shul or a Beis Medrash, as the Gemara Maseches Megillah is really making us do, you have to pick the Beis Medrash, because the Torah is what sustains Am Yisrael. And listen to what he writes so beautifully in source number 14. Lezos me'az kol chiyusam v'kiyumam shel ha'olamos kulam. It's the Torah which sustains and really nurtures the entire world. Taloi v'omed ra kifi inyan v'rov asaknu v'higyonenu ba. The world hinges on our endeavor in Talmud Torah. She'im anachnu oskim ba u'machazikim V'somchim osa karoi, if we hold up the Torah and learn the Torah as we are supposed to, b'li rifyoin klal, without any easing up at all, eno me'orim mikur, anu, me'orim mikur shor shahal yon, we're able to get to the source of the Ribbono Shalom's Kedusha, mikur ha'kedushos v'abrachos v'hamshichu l'harik tosefes bracha v'chaya olam v'kedusha nora kol olamos. Wow. It's a beautiful terms. And if we're able to study the Torah, we bring down all the brachos that are in Shemayim. Next paragraph, Imchas v'shalom, hayinu kulanu manichim, umaznichim osa, milt asik ba mikol v'kol, chas v'shalom, we would not study Torah at all. Gam ha'olamos kulam kirega, hayu, excuse me, mitbatlim, mikol v'kol chas v'shalom. And if we would all together, chas v'shalom, stop learning Torah, the world would implode. Which is not the case with any other mitzvah, as important as the mitzvahs are, even with the mitzvah of tefillah. Even if all of us would decide we're going on strike and we're not davening, the world would not implode. It wouldn't go back to its original nothingness. V'lachin ha'tzvila nikreis b'divrei chazal chayisha, v'ha'torah nikreis chayi olam. That's why Torah is considered to be efforts that we have while we're in this world, but learning Torah connects us to eternity. L'chein, third paragraph. L'chein ha'din pasuk b'shas, beis ha'kneses, mutter la'soso beis ha'medrash. The Nefesh HaChaim writes that this is why the Gemara tells us that you're allowed to transform a Beis Knesses into a Beis Medrash, because the Beis Medrash is what sustains the world. We can't have a world without Limud HaTorah. Mishum de'eluye kama al yilei likedusha yoser chamura. Because by learning Torah, we are able to enhance the Kedusha that was previously found in a Beis Knesses. I think this is a beautiful idea that's complementary to the Ramban. It stands on its own as certainly the rationale for the first Amora, who says you can transform a shul to a Beis Medrash. It doesn't explain the second opinion, but it certainly stands as a beautiful complementary idea to the Rav and the Ramban, that the essence of the Mikdash was the Torah, was the Arum, was the Luchos, and it's from that Kedusha, that the Kedusha spread out beyond that, and Nefesh HaChaim is adding that Kedusha is what sustains the world going forward. Ultimately, who do we paskin like? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch in source number 15, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Mutter lasos mi beis haknesses beis hamedrash. You are able to transform a shul into a beis medrash. Avalo meha beis medrash beis haknesses. You can't take a shul and use it only. I'm sorry. You can't take a beis medrash and use it only as a shul. And the Mishnah Berurah explains mi beis haknesses to beis medrash. You can take a shul and make it into a beis medrash. Hu makom hamiyuchad leTorah. It's a location designated for Torah study. V'kedushaso gedola yoser. The Kedusha is even greater than a shul. Va'afilu ein derech lispala shamklan. Even if you're not going to daven there at all, just learn the Kedusha of the Torah supersedes the Kedusha of tefillah. It's interesting, and this is beyond the purview of this discussion, but if you look in Rishimos, the Rav does address the fact that the Rambam himself paskins that you can take a shul and you can make it into a beis medrash. And the Rav explains, because in a beis medrash, it is a makom of Torah and tefillah. So it doesn't negate the parallel to the Mikdash, it actually only enhances it. The parallel to the Mikdash is the makom avoda, but when you add Torah into the mix, you enhance the Kedusha. So that's why the Rambam felt comfortable poskening, like the Gemara really tells us the conclusion as it is anyways, that you can take a shul and make it into a Beis Medrash, because when you take the Beis Medrash, you're only adding the Kedusha, you're not taking away from the Kedusha of the Avodas HaTfilah. Just an interesting side note, that the Piskei Tshuvos in source number 17 says a very interesting wrinkle into this discussion. He writes, V'yech HaKosvim Shedin Zeh De'ashulchan Aruch Bizmanenu Nishtane, that the halacha that you can take a shul and make it into a Beis Medrash has changed nowadays. Kibatei midrashos shalanu shasuyim al tnai. we make a base medrash and we sort of hedge our bets. We say this room is going to be a makom kedusha, but also we're going to allow certain mundane activities. V'ochlin v'shosim yishenim bohem. We eat, we drink, we sleep. Okay, we don't sleep. Hopefully, we won't sleep a whole night. We all have homes to go home to, I hope. Dormitories to go home to. But we all have a base nap here and there. So we allow that. So the level of Kedusha is not quite on the same level that it used to be when the room was only used for study of Torah. V'osin sham sudas mitzvah v'chadome. U'medarbim sham afilu sichas chulin l'tzorech. We can even speak trivial matters if there's a purpose to doing so. Therefore, it would not be appropriate to take a shul, which people don't eat in, and don't sleep in, and don't eat in, and use it for a base medrash, which is multi-purpose. It's an interesting observation, whether or not we actually pask in this way. I leave that to your local Orthodox rabbi, or there's certainly more than enough rabbis on the first floor of this building that can answer that question, halacha lemaisa. But something interesting to consider, that since base medrash is used for multiple purposes, and a shul is oftentimes only used, singularly used, for a shul, maybe the halacha has changed. Not because the kedushas have changed. In other words, the kedusha of tefillah is the kedusha of tefillah, and the kedusha of Torah is the kedusha of Torah, but the functional use of the room has changed, and that would require further study. Let me just end off with one beautiful insight of the Rav regarding a home in general, and the difference between our home and the home of God. Because when we started with that, the Gemar Maseches Megillah, that God tells us that He will be the Mikdash Me'at, a reference to the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash. Both words have the word bayis. They're all homes. They're homes for prayer. They're homes for study. Ultimately, we make those homes for God. And what's the significance of that? So let me just share with you two paragraphs of what the Rav once shared many moons ago. Source 18. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it? Referencing why did he allow himself to be confined to a home, a mishkan, because man basically is a homeless being. No matter how his home is fortified, he's exposed to the vicissitudes of life. The animal is also exposed, but the animal has no concept of time. Concept of time is a wonderful gift, but also the source of endless suffering. To anticipate the future, rain, snow, cold, heat, is very difficult. The purpose of man's home is to shelter him. But until messianic time, such a home has not been built. A home to afford man total security. In other words, there is no location in this universe where we can be totally protected as human beings. Only one home can give him security. It is God's home. Hashkifa mimo'on katshacha min hashamayim. Look down from your holy habitat, from heaven. God is greater than the universe. Thus, the only home where man can find security is God. Thus, when God told Moshe to build a Mishkan, it is a home not for God, but for man. Man who feels God is close to him. In other words, it doesn't make a difference where you choose to go, the Beis Medrash or the Beis Knesset. Entering into a Makom Kedusha is entering into a different reality where we rendezvous with the Almighty. No matter what other physical structure we build for ourselves, no matter how mighty we get technologically speaking, we ultimately remain vulnerable human beings. And it's the encounter with Kedusha that we find in a Makom Tefillah, in a Makom Torah, which ultimately gives us the most security, which ultimately gives us that connection with the Kedusha of the Ribono Shel Olam. Thank you very much for listening. I hope my remarks today were meaningful. You enjoyed learning. I certainly enjoy teaching. And I want to wish everybody a wonderful day. I'm happy to take questions privately.